I'm sorry. I will be talking about the properties of the operators of loop quantum cosmology, and actually it's not going to be, I understand that this is the last talk, and so this is not going to be a very long analysis. I will just focus on two simple results. The results will concern the jointness and spectra of some operators. The motivation is, I think, aesthetical reasons. In when you open any book on quantum mechanics, you will see that people studied very carefully all possible Schrödinger equation with all possible potentials. They know exactly properties of Hamiltonian operators. Whereas in loop quantum gravity and in loop quantum cosmology, very often we are on uncharted territory. We don't have any exact devices which would let us answer a question whether some operator is self-adjoint or not. So we are trying to, with my PhD students Kaminski and Schultz, we are trying to open this area. I will be from physical point of view. I will be talking about the Friedman-Robertson-Walker space-time homogeneous isotropic with massless scalar field, quantized according to loop quantum cosmology. But you are not going to see the space-time. There will be just some Hilbert space and some operators. But if you want to know what is the physical context, so this is the Friedman-Robertson-Walker model with coupled with massless scalar field. Okay, let me find some other place. Okay. So what is the Hilbert space in our case? The Hilbert space consists of two factors. The first factor is the Hilbert space of the scalar field. Because of the homogeneity, the scalar field is just the zero mode of scalar field. So it's just a number which may change in time. So the corresponding Hilbert space is just the space of square integrable functions. And the conjugate momentum is just this. I skipped the constants here. I'm sorry for this. Okay, so this is the Hilbert space of the scalar field. And here is the Hilbert space of the gravitational degrees of freedom. This Hilbert space is a funny span of symbols which look like ket, famous, known in physics, labeled by a single real number. The only difference compared to what we are used to is that those kets are normalized not to Dirac delta, but they are just normalized to 1. So this span means these are finite linear combinations. And what is V? V is the eigenvalue of the volume operator, modulo some constant, which is skipped here. So this small V is the volume operator eigenvalue. And at some point, okay, and the kinematical Hilbert space in which the theory is defined is the tensor product of the two Hilbert spaces. Okay. And now the operator which contains information about the Einstein equations in this case is this single operator. So all the Einstein equations, the Einstein constraints come down in this homogeneous case to the scalar constraint. It consists of two parts. This part is the gravitational constraint. And this is just the conjugate momentum. And there is some factor which comes from the volume, which is still the metric tensor. So this factor B is in fact, okay, so perhaps you notice in the other talks that in loop quantum gravity, operator corresponding to 1 upon some observable is not just the inverse operator. It's a different operator, quantized from scratch. So in this case, this coefficient here, classically, it would be just 1 upon volume, but in our quantum framework, it's just the operator corresponding to 1 upon volume. And it's almost like one open volume, but not exactly. So we can expand it, and it has more terms. And this is expansion which is true for large V. And from the point of view of people who are interested in Big Bang, when V is small, here I missed the most important information, that this is actually not zero when V is small. It's something else. However, I'm not sure I can see it from this formula. Okay. And this scalar operator, in fact, so this whole Hilbert space is too huge. So this scalar operator, in fact, has subspaces which are preserved by this operator, and we look, so we consider this operator in smaller subspaces. So this subspace looks like a lattice. It consists only of cats which are labeled by integers in this way, and there is always some epsilon which labels the whole subspace. Okay. Now, okay. So I would like to show you two results. First result concerns. But I forgot to tell you what actually this gravitational scalar constraint is looking like. Okay. So if you remember talk by Ashtekar, scalar constraint equation becomes difference equation, and this is one of the most important features. So here this operator which causes this difference character is this U operator. So the gravitational constraint part of the operator consists of a function A, which is defined here, and multiplied by some operator which is just shift either to the right or to the left in volume. Okay, this is this part. And this part is a function, and this is a cosmological constant, modulo some modulo some constant which is bigger than zero. And this is the function A. So this scalar constraint operator consists of this main part and of a function, and now this function depends on the cosmological constant, and this function depends on so-called K. So you know that in the class of homogeneous isotropic spaces, there are actually three subclasses labeled by K equal either 0 or 1 or minus 1. So if it's 0, then it is flat. If it is 1, then this is the sphere, three-dimensional sphere times R, and if it is minus 1, then some hyperboloid times R. So this function present in this operator depends on that case. In each case, it has to be calculated independently. In the flat case, it is just zero. Okay. So my result will be, which I will just tell you in 1 second, is how to prove self-adjointness of this kind of operator. So what we do is we split this operator in three pieces, and we notice that a certain inequality holds. So if we consider this as this part, green part, as the main piece, and this part as a perturbation, and for a moment assume that this is zero, then the following inequality is true. And in fact, this inequality is sufficient to for the first two parts of the operator to define a self-adjoint operator. So in the case when F is zero and lambda is zero, it follows from this inequality that this operator is self-adjoint, and we are done. In the case when we switch on this cosmological constant, then suddenly it either improves this inequality or it destroys the inequality. So when cosmological constant is less than zero, so because this part is less than zero, then altogether they make this term increase, so this inequality still holds. So when lambda is, when cosmological constant is negative, then our condition is satisfied, even better. When it is bigger than zero, then we don't have the condition and we don't know. Okay, so final conclusion which follows from this is, gravitational constraint actually consists of two pieces. This was, if you remember, this was omega square is the momentum. So if we act on eigenfunction of the momentum, then this is just produces the term omega squared, and multiplied by that function b. But because this function b is decays, goes to zero in infinity, so if we know that this operator is self-adjoint, we can also conclude that the sum is self-adjoint. So the conclusion is that this operator is self-adjoint on the domain, provided that this extra function is less than zero. And when it happens, this is the case when in the flat case and cosmological constant either zero or less, in the k equal 1 closed case with cosmological constant either zero or less than zero, and in the k equal minus 1 case, and now the gravitational constant has to be sharply zero for this proof to work. Okay, how much time do I have? Okay, so let me skip results concerning the spectrum, because I would like to go on to the second part of the results. Okay, so why are we interested in the properties of the operator? What do we do in this operator? So in order to find physical states, we need to solve this kind of equation. Now, why do I put here this quotation mark? Because in fact, we never hope to find solutions in the original Hilbert space in which this operator is defined. We always find something what physicists called non-normalizable solutions, so from mathematical point of view, we try to find some definition of something which exists in dual space or dual to dual, to which this operator can be applied or extended by duality, and so we always have to not only solve this equation, but we have to define this equation. So it turns out, this is the fact of life, that what people do is, in fact, they don't solve this equation, instead they solve this kind of equation. So they divide everything by b. So in fact, in order to help my friends who in practice numerically look for physical states in loop quantum cosmology, I should rather consider this operator and the properties of this operator. Okay. So it's not a problem, although it turns out that this operator is a little more difficult to take care of. So it acts in the same domain. Okay, so this operator we want to know about. So here just a statement, because it's really late, so I just tell you the end of the story. So I'm sorry, this is illegal part because it concerns gravitational constant equal to zero and k equals zero flat case. Okay, so it turns out that it's possible to show that this operator is essentially self-adjoint. Moreover, one can find its absolutely continuous spectrum, and the thing which is strange is that it's bounded away from zero. So zero is not the part of the spectrum. And a very nice technical trick which is used to study this operator is that there exists a unitary transform from the space in which this operator is defined to the regular space which we use in quantum mechanics, and the image of this operator becomes just the usual Hamiltonian with this kind of potential. So we transform our problem just to Schrödinger quantum mechanics and to the Hamiltonian operator in the usual Hilbert space, and very well-known operator, because everything is well-known about the operator with this potential. You can find exact form of solution spectrum, everything. However, in our case, there is extra potential, but this potential is what mathematicians call operator of trace class. So my students are telling me that this kind of perturbation doesn't change the absolute spectrum. So the absolute spectrum, absolutely continuous spectrum of our operator is the same as absolutely continuous spectrum of this operator, and this we can find in textbooks. Okay, so closing remark. So there are two possibilities for making closing remarks. Either I should repeat once again what I said, but I find it boring, especially when I watch some other talks, because for me it would be very exciting to repeat. So my closing remark is not really going once again through all the talk, but just a closing remark. So, okay, let us go back to loop quantum gravity. In loop quantum gravity, we have some kinematical Hilbert space, then we have the scalar constraint, which is either defined in this Hilbert space, or maybe there are some technical further difficulties. And we want to construct the physical Hilbert space. So usually we think that we should use the some kind of spectral decomposition of this operator and choose the subspace corresponding to eigenvalue 0 or some Hilbert space corresponding to eigenvalue 0. But what I learned at least from the loop quantum cosmology is that in loop quantum cosmology, people, instead of using spectral decomposition of this operator, they use the spectral decomposition of this operator. So well, I consider this as a lesson for me that it's not necessarily so simple, that maybe we should always think of this kind of equivalent versions of the constraint, which in practice, considering loop quantum cosmology as some experiment, so which are useful to construct the physical space. Actually, this is the same what Thomas mentioned in his talk, that there is another way of, but he was using different notation, so it may be not recognized, but he also mentioned that this is an alternative way of defining or attempting to define physical states. Okay, thank you very much.
I'm not very sure that this constraint is equivalent to what we use.
Oh yes, because there is some one-step calculation to show this. So you guys use this constraint without this the two factors, 1 over beta, but in Hilbert space with a different scalar product. But then there is unitary map from your space to this space, such that this scalar product is the same as usually, but this the difference is manifested in the two factors. No. It's equivalent, unitarily equivalent.
But I have another question. Like in your slide where you showed the constraints on F, demanding essential separate joiners.
Yes.
Like, I was slightly confused because in the k equal to minus 1 case, one should probably get the reverse sign. That would be a problem.
So in k equal to my minus 1 case, this function which I called f actually has wrong sign. Right, so it's not convenient for me. However, if I add cosmological constant term, then this term dominates. If cosmological constant is negative, then this term dominates the Well, because it's different power of volume. So
it depends on where you are looking at the
It depends on what?
Like why it should dominate at the kinematical level or something.
Well, I don't know. I just okay.
You made a statement of the absolute continuous spectrum of the
Yes.
However, if you include the statement that that's all, or
this is all the continuous spectrum. But discrete spectrum is not under control. We don't control the discrete part of the spectrum. And there, it is possible that there is also a discrete part of the spectrum. I think this should be somehow relevant from the point of view of finding analytically those solutions. Okay, Martin? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, but I didn't make up this ordering. I just took the operator which Abai, Param, and Tomasz use, but I just used some unitary transformation to write it in this form. Okay, so actually this factor ordering which is used here and which Abai uses seems to be from practical reasons more convenient, because this operator is manifestly positive definite or negative definite in this with this sign convention. I'm not sure if this operator you are talking about it would be definite. So that was the reason why this ordering was also is used by Abai. But I don't know how you can tell which ordering is more closer to physical and which is not. So I think Abai believes this ordering is better.
So you said that the scalar constraints just by itself, and then this scalar constraint with these two factors on the sides that imposing these two are equivalent. Are they only equivalent classically, or are they also equivalent functionally?
No. We have scalar product and operator. Okay, and we can change the form of the operator, and if we change scalar product appropriately, then this new pair is unitarily equivalent to the previous one. So this was what happened. So Abai uses new scalar product for physical states, which is this old physical product, but with some 1 upon B in the middle. And this is the same as using the old physical scalar product, but using this funny two factors.
Okay, so there's the last question.
So I think you might have answered the question before when you said you didn't know which was the physically right one or what. But it seems like there's potentially infinite ambiguity in this operator or in short. You might actually have an infinite.
Yes, that's. But is it the end of the question or is it just introduction?
The question is the lighting guide you choosing one over.
Okay, so that's why I love loop quantum cosmology. When I do loop quantum gravity, I have no idea, and maybe there are even more orderings or more ambiguities. However, in loop quantum cosmology, people try various choices, and then they find one of the choices kind of more convenient for some calculations. So then I understand this as experimental result, which shows that this choice is somehow better than others. But Martin says that there should be some other choice considered, so I don't know. But I think you are aware of this ambiguity of factor ordering. So this is not anything new, so I don't have any new. Okay, I'm afraid I'm wrong person to elaborate about this important physical issues.
Okay, thank you.